Well, on this Easter morning, our message today is entitled, He Did It All For You. And as we begin, let's listen to the Easter story. It's found in Matthew's Gospel. In Matthew 28, beginning with verse 1, we read, "Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you.' The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there.'" And on that first Easter morning, the angel did not say to the women, "April fools, Jesus isn't really alive." No, the angel appeared to the women and proclaimed, "Don't be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen." You see, on Friday, Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried. But 3 days later, Jesus was raised to new life on that first Easter morning, conquering sin, defeating death for all who would place their faith in him. And remember, he did it all for you, for me, for all people, everywhere. Author and pastor John Ortberg shares the following story. He says, "A friend of mine used to work as a denominational official in Minnesota. One of his jobs was to travel to little rural communities where they didn't have churches to do funerals. He would go out with an undertaker, and they would drive together in the undertaker's hearse. One time they were on their way back from a funeral, and my friend John was feeling quite tired. He decided he would take a nap. Since they were in a hearse, he thought, 'Well, I'll just lay down in the back of the hearse.' Now, it sounds like a kind of a creepy thing to do, but this really is a true story. The guy who was driving the hearse pulled into a service station because he was running low on gas. Now, you can tell this story took place in the 70s because they still had service station attendants, okay? And this attendant was filling up the tank and was kind of freaked out because there was a body stretched out in the back of the hearse. While he was filling the tank, John woke up, opened his eyes, knocked on the window, and waved to the attendant. John said he never saw anyone run so fast in his whole life." Now, Ortberg adds this little commentary on this true story. He says, "When people see life where they were expecting death, they start running. On that first Easter Sunday, everything changed. Where everybody thought they were just going to see death, there was life. And that shook things up. After Jesus' resurrection, as a matter of historical record, his followers who were shattered, disillusioned, and heartsick following the crucifixion went out to face all kinds of difficulties and suffering and imprisonment and spread the word because they believed they had seen life where they were expecting death. That shakes people up. And yes, when we see life where we're expecting death, it shakes things up. On that first Easter morning, Jesus shook things up. The empty tomb shakes things up. So today may be April Fool's Day, but I assure you this is no April Fool's joke. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. On Friday, Jesus suffered a terrible death. But 3 days later, Jesus shook things up as he was raised to life. And remember, he went through it all. He did it all for you, for me, for all people, everywhere. And today, the good news, Jesus is still shaking things up. So if you have a Bible or you can take a hold of one, I invite you to do so and follow along as we take a look at one thing we know for certain. One thing we know for certain, because Jesus rose from the dead. And this is no April Fool's. But first, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Okay, let's get started. So remember, because Jesus Christ came back to life on Easter Sunday about 2,018 years ago, it split history in half. It split history into AD and BC. And this is one of the benefits we know for certain. Because Jesus shook things up and rose from the dead. He says, I have great power for your challenges, your hardships, and your problems. See, Easter demonstrated the power of God. There's not much greater power than raising yourself back to life. It's the most powerful event in history, and here's the neat thing about it. It's available to everybody. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead some 2,000 years ago is available to you and me today. Check out Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Here the Apostle Paul says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now you might say, no, wait a minute here, Jim. Time out here, Jim. Jim, you're telling me that the same power that brought Jesus back to life is available to me in my daily life. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. That's a benefit we may not have known about. The resurrection of Jesus comes with a promise. Check out 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Here we read, and God will raise us from the dead by his power, just as he raised our Lord from the dead. Now, isn't that fabulous? Isn't that awesome? The Apostle Paul reminds us here that the only reason we're going to be raised from the dead and have life after death is because that's what Jesus did. That's the reason. If Jesus doesn't raise us from the dead, we're not getting raised from the dead. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will also raise us. We can, you and I, we can have resurrection power in our lives. So let me ask kind of a personal question. Where do you need a resurrection in your life today? Now, I'm talking right at this very moment. So let me phrase it another way. What's dying in your life? What's dying in your life or is dead and you know it and you need God's power to bring it back to life? Where do you need a resurrection this year in your life, 2018? Where do you need today, right now, God's resurrection power? Now, I hate this, but some of us may be in marriages that are dying. They're going south real fast, or maybe they've already died. And now you're just living together in the same house under the same roof. You need a resurrection in your marriage. Some of us need a resurrection in our career. And we think, man, I thought I'd be a whole lot further along. than I am right now. At this stage of the game, at this phase of my life, I expected to be further down the road, but I'm not. That's disappointing. And we need a resurrection in our career. Some of us need a resurrection in our energy. We say, you know, I'm just tired all the time. I drank through the day. I'm fatigued all the time. I don't have any energy. That happens because we're living on our power rather than God's power. God never intended us to go through life all on our own resources, on our own power. We don't have enough. Human power always runs out. Human love always runs out of gas. We need supernatural love and we need supernatural power in our lives to make it to the finish line. Some of us need a resurrection of our dream. We had a dream in our past about something we've always wanted to be or something we always wanted to do, a talent we wanted to develop, a goal we wanted to achieve and go after, and the dream has just died. This Easter Resurrection Day, Jesus is saying, the power that I raised myself back to life with is available to you if you just plug into me. Some of us need a resurrection in our health. We're not going in the right direction. Some of us need a resurrection in our motivation. Maybe we're saying, you know, I'm just not motivated about anything anymore. I'm just putting in the time, waiting for a payday, checking in the clock. I'm not motivated. I kind of lost my purpose, my reason, the reason God put me here in this world. Nothing motivates me anymore. We need a resurrection in our motivation. Some of us have had a rift in a friendship with a dear friend or a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or just a good friend. There's been a break, a tear, a conflict. We need a resurrection in our friendship. Some of us have had our heart broken recently and need to have our heart repaired. We need a resurrection in that area of our lives. You see, this is the difference between human beings and God. God is God, and we are not. Human beings can resuscitate, but only God can resurrect. If you know CPR, you know how to resuscitate someone. If someone's heart stops, you can resuscitate them with CPR. Resuscitation happens when someone has been dead for a few seconds or a few minutes. But when you've been dead for 3 days and buried in the ground, you don't need resuscitation. You need resurrection. And God says, I want you to have that kind of power. Not resuscitation power, but resurrection power in the areas of your life that are dying or are already dead. You see, because of the cross and the resurrection, God has a power for your life which is bigger than the problem or the challenge or the hardship you're going through right now. And that, my friends, is no April Fool's. And here's no fool. Here's someone that has experienced firsthand Jesus' great power for his challenges in life. Let's show some love for Brother Christopher.
He's risen. So a little under a month ago, I started experiencing some pretty intense abdominal pain. And I was diagnosed, but still had some antibiotics. After those antibiotics phased out, I had more pain come back. Went back, got some more antibiotics, but it was a little too late. I ended up going to the ER and was diagnosed with a hole in my colon. It started a long journey of 2 weeks. The first 5 days, I was in pretty intense pain. Don't really remember much because they were putting me on painkillers, and so I was just glad to get rest. But then I started getting better, and the fevers and chills stopped, and then I moved on. But 2 days later, they came back again. And there was a nurse named Edna there, And Edna was with me through some of those first 5 days, and she saw how bad off I actually really was. And she was really concerned, and I remember the one day specifically, she was talking with the doctor, like, we just need to get this guy into surgery. He's going backwards, his infection's going nuts. And she left that night. And 2 days later, I actually did rebound, and the antibiotics were working, and I was getting better. And she came back and was so shocked and surprised to find out I did not have surgery, that she began to uncontrollably praise God in that moment in my room in tears of joy. And just, it was amazing. I had some of my friends who were there visiting, and they got the witnesses too. And it was just kind of like, this lady is just like welcoming this presence of God in our room. And it was pretty awesome. I later found out that Edna's not even really into God, and she doesn't go to church. And but she felt compelled to pray for me with her husband each night, that her shift that she wasn't there. And so that gave me hope, and I got to pray with Edna, and I shared that same hope that our God is a God who resurrects old to new. Amen. I had many more amazing God conversations and spiritual encounters with the staff and patients during my stay. I continued to feel better, but I still had that stupid hole in my colon. It was very infected as well. On day 12, my doctor prepped me for surgery, saying it's not getting better. We need to get this done. He told me the whole process, and I just wasn't excited at all for a colostomy bag and double surgeries, and I was already praying for that miracle. But I also was just ready to get home any way I could. I had two people text me the night before I had my final test to tell me whether I need surgery or not, and they just said, you know, the Lord is going to heal you, and he's gonna make you well, and he's going to make you whole. And I was like, okay, yeah, right, I've been asking for this for 12 days, so thanks, but I'm just ready to go home, surgery or not. And 2 hours later, after the doctor came in the next day and said, dude, it's really bad, the infection's still growing, 2 hours later I had my test, and there was no hole in my colon, and the infection was dissipated. So, amen. So I believe in that moment, a miracle did happen. Miracles are interesting because they happen when there's an opportunity to glorify God, and sometimes they don't. Miracles can look like a lot of different things. Sometimes even when we pass from this life on to the next, from pain and suffering, it's a miracle. Modern medicine is a miracle. Hope is a miracle. Peace in the midst of turmoil is a miracle. The resurrection of things once dead being brought back to life is a miracle. A saved marriage, reworked finances, mended family relationships are all miracles. Ernst Kaufmann once stated that the cross is the signature of the one who is risen, the surest sign that if anyone believes to him, that they participate in Christ's risen life, which means they participate in the expression of self-sacrificial love. Resurrection power prompted this community and the community around us to pray for me and to pray for healing. Resurrection power empowered others to self-sacrifice by serving our family during that 2 weeks. Resurrection power enables people to declare healing over dead things. And without resurrection power, our faith essentially becomes just a bunch of good people trying to do good, morally good things, right? But eventually have death and decay invade. Romans 8:11, the Spirit of God who raises Jesus from the dead lives in you, me, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give you life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. And today, the only thing that is dead and empty is the tomb. Mm-hmm. What is dead and empty in our lives that need resurrection today?
Right. So, Christopher, it's the last question. What is dead that needs resurrecting in our lives? Remember, Jesus is alive. He is still shaking things up today. He's still saying to you and me, I have great power for all your problems. Bottom line, because of the resurrection, we know with all certainty that God has greater power than any problem, any challenge, any hardship, any obstacle, any roadblock in our lives. And how do we get this power? How do we plug into this awesome power? Well, we do what Romans 10 verse 9 says. And it says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, that's what the Bible says. So I want the honor and the privilege of leading you in a very simple prayer today. It doesn't matter what your background is. Jesus isn't interested in whatever our religion might be. He's interested in you and me. He wants a relationship with everybody. God wants you to have a relationship with him through the person of Jesus Christ. So I'm just going to offer a little prayer. And if this prayer speaks the desire of your heart, I want to invite you to pray it silently in your heart along with me. Will you bow your heads as we pray together? Dear gracious God, I want to put my trust in your power. I want to plug in starting today. I'm going to stop living on my own power and start living by your power. I know that you are greater than any challenge, any hardship, any problem I face. And Father, I want to learn to love you, to know you and follow you. Thank you for shaking things up. Thank you for showing me life where I was expecting death. Thank you for loving me even before I knew you. Thank you dying for me before I was even created. And so I humbly ask, Father, that you accept me into your family, that I may experience all the benefits of what you did for us some 2,000 years ago. And I pray this prayer in the name of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.